And we welcome you to the Friday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Today, I am very pleased to be speaking with an array of faculty colleagues from Carthage, where I'm a member of the music faculty. We are talking today about a very exciting event that is coming up next week. It is the second symposium that honors and celebrates a magnificent collection of Soviet art that now belongs to Carthage College, the Sam and Barry Schoen collection of Soviet art. And this was joyously and gratefully received in a first symposium last year. Mother Nature descended with a furious snowstorm, but that did not deter everybody from coming to Carthage for a series of special events. And the second symposium is coming up beginning next Thursday. And this second symposium is titled From Canvas to Cosmos, Soviet Art, Solaris, Space Exploration, and the Science of Serene Spaces. And this is one of those marvelous opportunities for scholars from various disciplines to come together to talk about some topics of mutual interest. And so, although today we are mostly talking with the members of Carthage's art faculty, we will have a science faculty member as well, and a modern languages faculty member is also part of the symposium next week. And there are all kinds of ways in which this upcoming symposium embodies the whole ideal of what the liberal arts are and the rich benefits of a liberal arts education. So the instigator of this gathering is primarily Leslie Brothers, a visiting assistant professor in the art program, who has had a very much a guiding hand in the shaping of this symposium. And she has helped to gather all of the participants who are joining in. I'm very happy to be speaking also with Jojen Van Winkle, chair of the art department, director of the photography, film, and new media program at Carthage. An assistant professor of art, Dr. Ryan Miller, Dr. Jojen Van Winkle, Dr. Ryan Miller, associate professor of art and director of the H.F. Johnson Art Gallery, where these splendid Soviet artworks are currently on display. And also joining us today is Dr. Jean Kwasniak, professor of physics and astronomy, and also coordinator of the dual degree program in engineering at Carthage. And all of them are participants in this second symposium, which, as I said, begins next Thursday and runs for several days, and which will involve an impressive array of various scholars. All of these events are open to the public, and if I remember correctly, they're free. Says Leslie Brothers, am I correct about that?
Yes, you are correct.
Very good. So a warm welcome to all of you. I'm so glad we can have this conversation. Thank you for making time for it. Leslie Brothers, did I overstate anything in terms of crediting you with at least much of the shaping of this second symposium? Or is that something you've had a lot to do with?
I wouldn't say totally responsible. So I've been working with the Dean of the Division of Arts and Humanities, Corinne Ness, as well as the colleagues who are here with me today and others to help organize this second symposium. And it's been an absolute pleasure.
Was it primarily your thought that this should be as interdisciplinary an event as it's turning out to be? I mean, in a sense, was that very much an idea of yours?
I think the hope was that would be something. I mean, it's something that I've done throughout my career working in university art museums, and I think the hope was that would be something that I would be able to do for the symposium. So it's kind of where the roundtable came from, and some other things.
Very good.
But it's a collaboration. I will say that. Yeah.
We're going to dig into each and every element in some detail, but I think it would be helpful at the outset, and Leslie, you might as well go ahead and do that, if you could just sketch for us fairly briefly, I mean, you don't have to be too succinct, but this is not the time to richly describe each and everything. But I want our listeners at the outset to have a sense of kind of the general shape of this symposium and the various elements. And then, as I said, we'll explore each one of them then after that.
So the whole program really begins with the exhibition. And Ryan is the curator for the exhibition, and you know, he'll talk more about that. Place Traits, and it's a selection of works from the collection. And then that, I'm not sure if I should go through like giving the times and dates, or do you just want the
maybe just the days for now, and we'll dig into more specifics a little later. Yeah, thanks for asking.
Okay. So Thursday, we begin the day with a lecture by Gregory Baer, Professor Baer, called Her Dream Factory, Women and the Socialist Realist Narrative in East German Films. Now, I have to say that, you know, this is probably, aside from the vastness of, you know, understanding space exploration, this was less known to me. But you know, it's kind of a wonderful subject in that it's kind of his area is sort of focused on the 40s and 50s, and where there was a kind of resurgence in German films. And that was focused, and this is just really an oversimplification, but kind of focused on women, women as subjects, directors, and he's drawing from this amazing collection. I think there's nothing else like it in the United States or otherwise outside of Germany at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, right? So it's called the DEFA. Archive and Research Center. And the focus of it is primarily these films that were made in this time period in the GDR. So just kind of, you know, one of those oases that's, you know, worth discovering. So then we have the official celebration of the exhibition, where Ryan will give curator's talk and give us, you know, more information on his thinking behind the exhibition and his selection of works. And then we have three students that I think are, I'm not sure if they're art history undergrad students, I think so, who have done research on three works that are on view in the gallery. So they'll do brief, maybe 10 or so minute presentations on those paintings. So that's pretty special, right? And again, everyone is invited to attend, and there'll be a wonderful reception at the opening of the exhibition. And then Friday, we have the screening and discussion of Solaris, and Jo Jin will be leading that with her colleague Eric Kahn from the art department and media. And then we have a special guest. We have a special guest from Madison, Wisconsin. Jo Jin, do you want to just say a couple things about James? And
yes, hi everybody. James Carell is a film critic. He's also a maker. He is also, so he writes for the Isthmus, which is a local zine, independent zine. He comes from with a PhD background in film studies and experimental film, as well as he runs a experimental film program out of the arts and literature laboratory in Madison. It's called Mills Folly. And cinema, micro cinema. So I'm looking forward to having him. And after the film screening, we'll be having a discussion, open Q&A, and kind of laid back discussion about the film.
Hey, Thank you. And then that same day, and they overlap a little bit, we have the amazing Dr. Esther Sternberg here, which is quite a coup. And she's come through the medical humanities program. She'll be speaking with nursing students in a couple of classes, and then she'll give her public lecture in the gallery space at 4 o'clock. So Esther is so many things. She's from the University of Arizona. She's an immunologist and a neuroscientist. And if I can distill down the work she's doing, it has to do with finding, like, really working with empirical evidence around how our experience in places. And one of the places that she's focused on is or are hospitals, and that places can have a profound effect on our well-being, and not just our mental health, but really our physical health. So she has a lot to offer, and it's definitely something that shouldn't be missed. So then finally on Saturday, we have the New Space Race Roundtable. And again, in all of these events, we're kind of shining the light on our esteemed faculty, with a couple exceptions. And so we have six participants in the roundtable who all have fairly, substantial understanding of space and space exploration, and could talk about a whole lot of different things. But we decided to kind of come up with six topics that each participant could or is passionate about and could represent. And so I can go on more about that, but I think that gives us the whole thing. So that starts at 5, and there's a reception following that. And we're really hoping to get an audience for that, because part of the experience will be a question and answer time period. So you'll really be able to reap the benefits of the knowledge of these roundtable participants.
Fantastic. For those of you just joining us, we are previewing today a very exciting program, a varied program, as you've just been hearing, that's opening at Carthage next Thursday and runs Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. A symposium titled From Canvas to Cosmos, and very much an interdisciplinary event, but at its heart, celebrating a collection of Soviet art that is now in Carthage's possession, the Salmon Berryshon Collection of Soviet Art, which was unveiled in a sense last year with an initial symposium. So this is a follow-up event, and every bit as exciting as the first one, and in some respects perhaps even more ambitious. So Leslie Brothers is with us, visiting assistant professor in the art department. Two of her faculty colleagues, Ryan Miller, Jojin Van Winkle, also with us. Also, John Kwasniak, representing the sciences, physics and astronomy, who will be part of that roundtable on Saturday. Ryan Miller, I think it would be great to hear from you a bit more about this amazing collection of Soviet art, and maybe at least a summary description of how it found its way to Carthage.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. So I think actually the story of the collection at Carthage is pretty interesting, as our initial interest in Soviet era art had come from one of our alum who actually holds one of the world's largest, or the world's largest, collection of Soviet era art. And he's Johnson, I just blanked on his first name. He has a collection, Ray Johnson has a collection that is housed up in the Twin Cities. And I have not actually gotten to get up that far to see his collection, but the collection that we have, the Sam and Barry Schoen collection, is a product of our working with Ray Johnson. And he connected us with this these collectors, and we got over 200 works of art provided to us on as a gift to Carthage. And so, as you've mentioned several times, last year was the first opportunity that we had to show those works on campus. And we had a guest curator come in. We did have a symposium, but I would say your assessment of this one being a little bit more ambitious, I think, is true, because we've actually got to live with that collection for a while now. Our collection is housed up in Milwaukee, and it is accessible not just to those of us that were participating in this symposium and exhibition, but it is a space that we can take students for learning and observation of this collection. And that is partially what we're doing. Experience on the opening reception next Thursday, a few of our art history majors, which Leslie mentioned, that will be speaking to several works that are actually kind of adjacent to the H.F. Johnson Gallery. There's an adjacent space called the Visual and Performing Arts Lab, VPAL for short, that will house those additional paintings. We call it the art collection because there are a few more things other than paintings. There are some drawings but the majority of the collection is paintings. And that is what I made my selections from for this show, Place Trace, which is a wink and a nod to Space Race, the concept of the 20th century race to define the boundaries of these two superpowers. It is a privilege to get to kind of come up with a concept that I can play with when I'm putting together a curatorial. I think a good curatorial, the exercise of putting works together, should be first and foremost about the artwork. So when you step into the space, you should not first think about who put this show together. You should first be confronted with the work itself and contend with that. But that said, I had, you know, a couple hundred works to look at, and that was the fun part of trying to think about how different works within this collection would fit together to make sense as a cohesive show. And if you were there at the space last year, it was a very crowded space. We had put up a partition down the middle of the gallery so we could add additional wall space for the vast number of paintings that we were showing. And this year I definitely pared it back. It's kind of my overall curatorial vision to be a little bit more minimal in what I bring. I think less is more, gives us a little bit more space to back away from what it is we're trying to understand about the work, the paintings in this case. And Place Trace is all landscape-based work. There are a few things that are maybe on the periphery of what we might call landscape. A couple of ink drawings with some airbrush on them that are actually post-Soviet era. They're 1996, so just kind of post the demise of the Soviet Russia. So those represent kind of the oldest works in the show, or the newest works, I should say, in the show. And then we have paintings that go all the way back to kind of 1938. So that's the range. These are all landscapes, and beyond being just landscapes, I actively sought to disinclude any figuration in these paintings. So I really specifically did not want people in the show. I wanted us to be able to look at the work. I think oftentimes when we see people in work, it's a great way to relate to the artwork, but it is also a simplification that begins to happen sometimes of making it a kind of a singular story when we look at it.
I was going to say, when there are figures in a painting, then almost always everything else is rendered into the background, even if that's not at all what the artist intended. And it sounds like you don't want figures, human figures in these paintings, to draw our attention away from the place itself, because the place is the thing in this particular instance.
Yeah, I'm a painter by training. And I am a painter because I love the way that paint moves on a surface. And if you talk to a painter who is excited to talk about painting, they will talk about surface ad nauseum. And I will avoid that right now, but I will say that these are beautiful surfaces, and you will notice that more when you are not looking to only understand the work of art as a story being told to you. And so you'll see the landscapes move from being a space that you could kind of observe to being just a complex interlocking brushstrokes of you know, different scale and color and texture. And I think the Impressionists kind of helped us to kind of find that middle space of appreciating something, both what it is and how it's depicted. And I think a lot of the works here in this curatorial will do the same for our audience.
Very good. And can I assume that nothing that was exhibited last year is part of this exhibit, or is there any crossover at all?
I believe there is one piece that was in last year's show, maybe two. I think it's only one, though. There are, I mentioned there's kind of the adjacent space, VPAL. There are a couple of additional paintings that we brought in for research, and so I think a couple of those actually also overlapped, but 99% new work. And I actually would say the work that has come back will still feel like new because it's been recontextualized within the exhibition. So you'll think about that piece differently than you would have last year, when it was maybe one of the smallest pieces in last year's show. It fits more squarely in with the scale and type of paintings in this year's exhibition.
Interesting. And of course, you as curator not only chose these some other works as well. You not only chose them, but you also, I assume, are the person who has placed them. That is,
yeah,
placed them in a certain order. So in a sense, a certain story is told.
It really is. I kind of told the story of the passage of time. So they're not explicitly, like, not to give up the ghost here, but like they're not explicitly in a seasonal arrangement, but they're kind of close to that. So you'll kind of move through the year, fall, spring, winter and summer there in kind of a sequence. And so it does unfold a little bit like that. There are exceptions to that. It's in the end, the work needed to figure out how it needs to sit next to the thing adjacent to it. So I was willing to break the sequence that I kind of thought made most sense in order for the work to kind of succeed in the space more its own terms.
So we want to remind people that the opening reception for this exhibition called Place Trace is this coming Thursday, the 18th, 3:30 to 6:30 in the H.F. Johnson Gallery of Art. And we'll circle back to Professor Miller before we're done to get a sense of exactly when the gallery is open, because obviously this artwork can be enjoyed even apart from this special reception happening on Thursday. So one of the events happening on Friday, the 19th, is a screening at 3:00 in the Campbell Student Union Auditorium of the film Solaris. And Professor Jojin Van Winkle, so if I understand Leslie Brothers correctly, you have a direct hand in the selection of this film to be part of this second symposium. Tell us more about your experience with Solaris and why you thought this film would be an interesting addition to next week's events.
Well, it was a contender for last year's symposium, where we also had a screening. We didn't select it then, and we brought it back, and it's a perfect fit, of course, with the theme based around space. And so Solaris, if you like a slow burn, if you also like psychological thrillers, it's great. The film is sort of just in a nutshell about a set. It was made in, I should say, in 1972. So keep that in mind. And it's about a psychologist who's been asked to travel to a space colony that is basically orbiting Solaris, which is a planet and a fictitious planet in outer space. And he's going there because the remaining crew members are, there's been a death of a crew member, and the remaining crew members are, he finds out as he arrives, very anxious and having sort of emotional turmoil, as well as the longer he's there, don't want to be a spoiler alert, but as longer he's there, strange events start to take place. So I don't know if I should dive too much deeper into what those strange events are. I can say that one reason that this film Dr. Eric Hahn and I wanted to have this film as part of the symposium for our students and also for the public was because it touches upon not only things like memory and identity and human understanding, but it's intertwined with references to artificial intelligence. So that's as far as I'll get to a spoiler alert there for folks. But the film itself, when I say a slow burn, it is a little bit longer film, and that is why we are starting it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It is almost a 3-hour film, so please come in comfy clothes to enjoy the time. And after the film, we will have, I mentioned before, a Q&A opportunity over, we're looking forward to this, over a taco dinner, a light taco buffet dinner. So if you come to this film screening, you can join us for a light meal afterwards in the Carthage Student Union, and we'll be in the Student Union Auditorium. I just want to throw in one more fun fact about the film, because we've been talking about visual art and paintings. So in the film, you need to look carefully in the backgrounds. You're going to see the Space Center has paintings of old masters in it. And so that is a kind of this little fun fact there that you could be looking for in the background in the sets. And then I guess the last thing I'd like to say is that this film was created in an era, so this is from 1972, and so some people think that Andrei Tarkovsky's film is like the answer to Stanley Kubrick's 2001 Odyssey, so or possibly a correlation there. So the film itself, the Solaris, was created, of course, in the Soviet Union. Being that the part of our focus for our exhibition, the paintings being from the Soviet Union. And so another fun fact I could throw in there too about this is that the film was shot on Kodak film. And that's really important because it was very difficult to acquire that type of film in the Soviet Union at the time. And some of it was shot in Estonia when that was part of Soviet Union. So with this film itself, there's a lot of different kind of not only nods to the creative practice, but also nods to historical paintings in it of quote unquote old masters of the West.
Very good. I wanted to make sure that we clarify for listeners that this is the 1972 Soviet film and not the film that maybe more of our listeners are more immediately acquainted with, namely, I guess we would call it a remake, because I think they're both based on the same novel, but an American film. And I was shocked when I think if I read correctly, the more modern version of this was from 2002. I can't believe it's been more than 20 years that film came out. But obviously there are all kinds of reasons to choose this iteration. I mean, and primarily because it is a Soviet film. I'm just curious if you've seen the newer version.
I have to say, I haven't seen the newer version yet. I think though, George Clooney's in it, if I'm remembering right.
Yes.
So I have, but I have not seen that one. I think for, I guess another thing I could throw in there too about this film, and you had mentioned that it is inspired by a novel, and the novel was created by Stanisław Lem, and he was a Polish writer, and he was at first when this was being created, he got along really well with Tarkovsky. They hit it off. They were working on the film, and then tensions rose. During the creative process, unfortunately. So, as I understand from reading about a little bit about Lem, he did not see the 2002 version of the film itself. He like didn't want to see that. So, that's I'm sort of that I don't know that directly from his mouth, but I have read that he didn't really want to see that version of the film. I'm not saying you all
Interesting.
shouldn't go see it, but if you like Solaris 1972, maybe check out the other one as well.
Yeah. So this screening again will be at 3 o'clock in the Campbell Student Unit Auditorium, and then you're going to be leading a discussion. And you already mentioned the special guest will be on hand along with your faculty colleague Eric Ahn, a discussion which I assume will probably include some questions from the audience. And I'm guessing this is exactly the kind of film that might really prompt them—that is, questions from the audience.
Yeah, and one, this symposium where we it is at, right, an academic institution. It's also open to the public, and for the symposium, and the idea too is to have discourse about the concepts that are represented. So in the film, there's it raises questions about humanity, human condition, artificial intelligence. So I think there can be some deep conversations that we can have, especially with current day things that are happening, Chat GPT and other just in the news. If you just look this week or last week, I'm sure there's an article that you can find. So and then the rise of artificial intelligence, and then Europe, recently just passing more laws related to trying to regulate artificial intelligence, and questions that are arising in the United States. So I think that we can find not only talk about historical themes that are in the film, but we can correlate that to what's happening now. I guess it's sort of, if anybody else is sort of a sci-fi buff, if you look back at, for instance, Star Trek, and you see people talking over video, of course we're doing that in the present day through our Zooms and our video chats and all. So I'm not saying that this film will come to fruition in terms of the essence of it, but it's an interesting parallel to see how creative minds are thinking about not only innovations but hazards of innovations too. So I think that could be an interesting topic to explore. And one other thing I do want to mention is we're really looking forward to having James Carell come and be able to speak about his knowledge related to the film, and also be a resource for our students. At Carthage, we have a growing film club of students who are in all kinds of majors and minors, but come together because they love the moving image. And so having them have the opportunity to talk with somebody who's been not only a filmmaker himself, is a writer, a critic, and also produces festivals and curates films, I think just adds a depth and another insight into ways in which they might consider continuing to pursue the moving image in their own lives. So it has a multi-layered purpose, I think, this discussion, or I hope for them to find some other ways in which they might bring storytelling, the idea of the concepts that we're discussing, and how they could bring that all together, either with their own work or in their future pursuits later beyond our college.
Fantastic. That's exciting to think about. So great. So again, this film screening of Solaris, the Soviet version of Solaris from 1972, Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock in the Campbell Student Union. Saturday, the 20th of January, in some respects, the climactic event of this second symposium called From Canvas to Cosmos, will be a roundtable discussion called The New Space Race. And among the array of distinguished scholars who will be part of that is Jean Kwasniak, a professor of physics and astronomy. So Professor Kwasniak, maybe one of the first things you can explain is this intriguing title, The New Space Race. Why is that word new in the title? What is new about what you and your colleagues will be exploring and discussing?
So yes, thank you, Greg. So when the organizer, Leslie Brothers, came to see me this past fall to help organize the symposium around the theme of Soviet art and the former Soviet Union, of course, there were major events happening 50, 60 years ago, the launch of Sputnik in 1957, the Cold War, and then in the 1960s, the space race to the moon, all the while the United States and the Soviet Union being in a tense conflict that had military implications. So the technologies were both, and the both the confrontation and the collaboration at that time were happening. And we're now 50, 60 years from that time. And as everybody knows in the news, now we have all sorts of launches in space, both from, again, the United States with the help of private entities such as SpaceX, and from other countries now, not just Russia with the International Space Station, but countries like China and Japan and India. So, and of course, Russia still being active as well, and many other countries, Korea, Canada, participating. So there's both the similarities and differences comparing this past time from the Soviet era, where we had a space race primarily between the two superpowers, and now a new one that combines those powers plus China, the three major powers, Europe, and then these smaller countries as well, both collaborating and competing on economic terms, technological terms, communication terms, military and strategic terms. So there's many different themes that we'll be looking at in the panel that I'll be participating with. Several Carthage faculty plus a special guest faculty member from the University of Michigan who'll be speaking about from the law school of space law. So that's what the panel will be about. And if I can, I could speak about some of the themes that we'll be discussing.
I was just going to say it would be great to hear, because if I understood Leslie Brothers correctly, each of you participating in this roundtable discussion are each sort of, in a sense, earmarked with particular themes. Is that right? Or
yes,
is it a little more
right.
free-flowing than that?
That's correct. And so there's six, as I understand, beginning with my colleague, Temple Berling, who's a biophysicist and a biology professor at Carthage, along with physics. And he's going to speak about the Apollo program and its impact culturally on and technologically on humankind. We just went through the 50th anniversary of the lunar landing. And now in the new space race, we're talking again about going back to the moon and eventually from the moon to Mars. So that will be one theme. Again, Donald Moore, who's the guest professor from the University of Michigan, about space law. What are the laws that are currently existing, the treaties, which are relatively few? There's only two that are there and really unenforceable. As we now go back to space, we go to the moon perhaps and beyond. What are going to be the principles that are going to be governing that and the implications? A professor emeritus of physics at Carthage, Professor Doug Arian, who himself has a background where in his past life he also worked in defense and in the defense industry in the last phases of the 80s and 90s during the last phases of the Cold War. He's now an expert on all the proliferation of satellites in space and low orbit, all the space debris that might be causing and the dangers that it might pose, as well as the challenges and opportunities of commercialization of communications and satellites. And its impact also on astronomy, the fact that we have now a lot more space junk up there and what can happen, its implications for us and also for observations. So he's a panelist on with the International Astronomical Union on this topic that's looking at it, as well as the American Astronomical Society. So that's another theme, satellites in space. And then the next panelist is Kevin Crosby, another member of the physics department. He's the director of the NASA's Wisconsin Space Grant Consortium, with Carthage has the great honor of being the host of. So we are a NASA facility in that respect. He's going to be speaking about the commercialization of space. He and Carthage students have worked with launching just recently experiments on the Blue Origin, which is Jeff Bezos's company, private company that's launching rockets for space tourism, and also for eventually going back to the moon. So what is the role of private companies there? And what is, that's not my purview exactly, of some of the geopolitical implications that are involved with this new space race, and there are many, and both the parallels and distinctions between the current race and the past one with the Soviet Union, the impact on geopolitical dynamics. And we have several faculty who can't be at the symposium who could certainly speak on this topic, and the multipolar aspect of it. And then Eric Hahn, who's again a professor, I believe, of art communications, he'll be looking at science fiction's impact on space exploration, the cultural impacts of it, and how's that impacted on that, and how will it influence perhaps thinking on future explorations technologies. So that's a total of six different themes and lots of intersections to discuss.
Right. What I'm sort of wondering is how in the world all of that will happen between 5 and 6 p.m. Are you all going to speak really quickly, or is it possible we'll blur a little past 6 o'clock?
And on top of that, there will be time for Q&A with the audience. So, Leslie, we've spoken about this, and she's going to be our moderator, and we'll try to contain faculty. We tend to talk a lot, and so hopefully with some questions for the audience. But I think the audience will be enlightened by really what's becoming a very important topic. I think it's a secret to no one that there's both incredible opportunities in space exploration with new communications, and as well as challenges geopolitical. The recent war in the Ukraine with Russia, and in fact, Starlink's role with that, Elon Musk's Starlink satellite system and communications, the military impacts of that, our competition with China, which is becoming more and more pretty overt in their efforts to go to space, not go to space, they are in space and on the far side of the moon even, and eventually to Mars. So the race is on again, but it's going to be different, and I think a much faster paced race. So those will be the themes we'll be discussing and hopefully shed some light on.
Right. And of course, these themes don't even cover the whole gamut of possibilities by no means, but I love the wide variation that is represented. Did these themes spring from the participants, or were the themes created and then you found people to speak to them?
John, can I, so I did this deep dive, right? I describe it as sort of hacking into this world within our world in a short period of time. And in all the things I've read, the films, the, you know, YouTubes, the podcasts, there's some topics that kind of would float to the surface that seem to be popular. It's what people wanted to talk about. And that's kind of, and of course, in conversations with Jean, is kind of how we came to these. And then, you know, the group agreed to sort of take on, you know, the ones that, you know, they were passionate about or really wanted to talk about. And there'll be a few questions associated with each one. We may not get to all of them, you know, but we'll try to make that discussion as rich as possible. But then I imagine we'll really go to some amazing places when the audience starts asking their questions.
Fantastic. And from what I'm reading here, this is going to take place in the art gallery?
Next door, in the VPAL space that Ryan described, yes.
Very good. Very good. It all sounds absolutely marvelous, so exciting in so many ways. And Ryan Miller, I want to make sure to give you an opportunity as the person in charge of the gallery to clarify for our listeners when this splendid Soviet art is available for viewing by the public both during this special symposium and even once this symposium is over and done with?
Yeah, the gallery is dark on Sunday and Monday, but otherwise we're open from noon till 5 on the weekdays. We have additional hours on Thursdays, as that is when we typically have our opening receptions. So the hours on Thursdays, regardless if there's a reception, it's open until 8 o'clock, and it's 5 o'clock on the other days.
Very good. And Leslie Brothers, are you already thinking about a third symposium, or are you going to let this second symposium settle before moving on to yet another event?
I it's very clear that another roundtable or another form of discussion on the space race and what's happening in that area could happen again, because as Jean noted, there were a lot of people who were really interested in being part of it, coming from very different disciplines, who just weren't going to be here, or were out of the country, couldn't make it. But I want to do a shout out to your listeners and just say that, we welcome the art lovers, we welcome the film and sci-fi communities, we welcome the health and wellness groups, we welcome the history and space exploration enthusiasts, and the legal and policy scholars, and any community members that are interested in interdisciplinary topics and how they cross over and make us think of new ways of seeing the world.
Very good. And we, of course, would suggest people go to carthage.edu and on the bridge, where campus information is easily available. You'll find all that you need to know about this second symposium, From Canvas to Cosmos, Soviet Art, Solaris, Space Exploration, and the Science of Serene Spaces, all happening from Thursday, January 18th through Saturday, January 20th on the campus of Carthage. All these events free and open to the public. My thanks to everyone who participated in this conversation today: Leslie Brothers, Ryan Miller, Jojen Van Winkle, and Jean Kwasznak. What a pleasure to speak with all of you about this incredibly exciting event. And thank you for taking the time to be on the morning show today. Best wishes to you all.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
Thank you.